Oh, I think we're live. Yes, we are. Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to ABW Radio Live. Google is a cunt, and today I'll be joined by Mr. John Welsh. Good afternoon, John.
Afternoon.
And Mr. Ellis Mel. Good afternoon, Ellis.
Good afternoon.
Well, here we are again. First of all, as I say, apologies for the delay. It's just that Google is shit, and so is Ellis's laptop. But it's not your fault, Ellis, so we don't hold you responsible in any way, shape, or form. It's all good.
Thanks.
You're welcome. Right, so ABW Radio, home or away, win or lose, this is your place to share Arsenal views. Bada bing. Right then. 3-1 victory, back to winning ways, which is nice after the meltdown of midweek, as I shall call it. Sounds like a podcast name in itself. Danny, get on that. So let's get some initial thoughts. Ellis, what was your initial thoughts of today's game?
We were saying earlier it was a bit of a boring game without being a bit too harsh, but there wasn't too much going on, I think. Initially, it was quite a slow start. We had sort of chances, but we just weren't, like, the final ball wasn't really clicking. Then we got a bit of luck with the fortunate goal for Alexis when he was past the ball and he was through on goal and he just finished it. So that was good. Quite happy about that. Then the penalty, obviously, we'll probably come and talk about it a bit later on. But I thought a bit soft in my opinion. I wasn't quite happy with that it was given. Then, or before that, obviously, you've got the Debuchy injury, which I just felt so bad for him. And the poor guy gets his chance and he's brought on for like 15 minutes, if that, and then he's off again. And then we have that sort of problem, don't we? When if someone goes off injured and we have to replace him with someone, let alone Gabriel, we get a bit shifty and go a bit dodgy at the back and we'll get a bit panicky. And that didn't really look too great. But I think everyone started to grow into it in the second half. I think the partnership of Xhaka and Elneny worked quite well. And in the end, we got the 3 points that we desperately needed after drawing 3 games on the bounce. So, all in all, wasn't the best game to watch, but we got the 3 points. What more can you ask for, really?
Yeah, we'll take it. We'll take it. John, how's the beard, first of all?
Terrible as usual. I know you
Good.
all like to comment on it.
Standard. What was your thoughts then on today's victory? Like Alice said, it wasn't exactly a game that excited for the long periods, but a win is a win to quote a cliche. Quote people?
Yeah.
Quote a cliche. You know what I meant.
To quote a cliche,
Yeah, I
yeah,
said
very
cliche. I've
strange.
made up a word there. Yeah.
That's very good. Sorry.
Thank you.
Just getting past a cup of tea live on air, as you do.
No. I said minions, yeah.
Yeah. Service. Yeah, no, it was again another weird game. Started well, decent pressure. Like Ellis said, got lucky with the goal. But we did that thing that we've been doing the last few games again. As soon as we go one up, take our foot off the gas, don't go for the throat sort of thing. Try and kill the game off early, like we have done in previous games, like we did in the Chelsea game, and let Bournemouth get back into it. And obviously, we'll come on to the penalty, whether it was or it wasn't. I know there's lots of different views about that. But even if it wasn't, I think Bournemouth probably worth a goal because they outplayed us for large periods of the first half. Second half was a lot better, but still, we kept having these little dips of sort of 10, 15 minute spells where we were not pressing enough or not defending the right places or keeping the ball at the right times and applying the pressure when we should have. So happy to get the 3 points because, you know, November's always a bit dodgy anyway. But still, some things need to be worked out. Team selection, I was mainly the midfield, I was a little bit confused with today, but just happy to get 3 points and try and keep pace with Chelsea and everyone else.
Yeah, we should say at this point, Spurs. Yes, for anyone asking, yeah, the pants are drying well there. It's the work clothes there, so enjoy the view. Okay, let's sort of break into a few bits and bobs. The lineup, first of all, Ellis, what did you make of the lineup? Because there's a few changes. Elneny was partnered by Xhaka. We'll come on to his performance a little bit later on. Debuchy was back briefly. And we had a Giroud back to the bench again today. Oxlade-Chamberlain also in the lineup. Was there anything surprised you when you saw that lineup? I was quite pleased with it myself.
Yeah, I wasn't massively surprised. Obviously, other than the inclusion of Debuchy, that pretty much caught me off guard when I saw he was there and Jenkinson wasn't even on the bench. Some of the rumours I saw go around going on Twitter, that was for tactical reasons, but I can't see why even if it was for a tactical reason, he should technically still be on the bench. So I don't know what's gone on there. So that was a bit of a surprise. I thought Xhaka was due a start, really. I think, like we were saying in previous podcasts, that it's important to sort of like try out the sort of partnerships we can build without Santi. And I think this is one of the partnerships that we need to try out. And I thought, like I said previously, they started all right. It didn't really do much, but in the second half, they grew into it and Xhaka played quite well. I think Giroud dropping to the bench was harsh. Alexis, again, playing a full 90 minutes. That guy's just a machine. But yeah, I wasn't massively surprised. I think the only sort of, I think if you look at that lineup and we put it out in a previous season, obviously without the new guy, Xhaka, but I would have been worried initially with Oxlade-Chamberlain and Theo Walcott both on the wings, because they're not really known for tracking back and helping out their fullbacks. But I thought Theo's really improved in his game. I think he tracked back quite well today, and I think Ox was all right. He had moments where he was just sort of trotting on the edge, outskirts of the picture on the TV, and not really closing down and leaving Monreal a bit sort of on his own. But he did have moments where he did track back and work quite well. So overall, I wasn't massively surprised by the lineup I set from the Debuchy inclusion, but I think it worked well and we got a win, so it couldn't have been that bad.
True that. John, what was your kind of thoughts on it? Again, similar question, I suppose, but was there any great surprises for you sort of seeing that lineup previous to kickoff?
Debuchy was the big shocker. I forgot he was at the club, to be honest. Yeah, no. No, not in a bad way. I just thought he was still sunning it up sort of on the south of France, not really playing, or wherever it was he went, you know, earning however much a week and not getting any game time. But yeah, that was a bit of a shock. And he looked pretty decent, to be honest, before he got his injury. He was a bit unlucky with that. Two things. Ramsey not starting in the middle. I assume it's because he's coming back from that injury and it's sort of nursing him back to full fitness and everything, getting him up to pace again. I would have liked to see him play next to Xhaka maybe in a week or two. It's something we will see when he gets up to full, being able to play 90 minutes a week, sort of week in, week out again. And Alexis not being rested. Not for knocking Alexis, because he's been brilliant this season, but at some point you've got to take him out of the team, because we're just going to kill him, because we look like we can't win games without him when we're struggling a bit. And if you play him every single match, he's just going to end up just running out of steam. I know he likes to play all the time and he's a nightmare and he's difficult for Arsene to manage him, because he always wants to be on the pitch and training. And even when he gives him a rest, he's out with his dogs running up and down the beach for 10 hours a day, non-stop, kicking a football. But at some point, he's got to have a rest. And like Ellis said, I thought he was a little bit harsh, maybe not having Giroud on. But the rest of the lineup, I thought, yeah, wasn't a huge surprise. I'd also forgotten that we had Gabriel as well, because you hadn't seen him for so long when he came on. That was a bit confusing, a little bit worried as well at first.
Agreed. Yeah, it was a surprise to see him play right back. We'll definitely touch on that in a second. But Ellis, what about the start to the game? Because we seemed to start pretty well and then it all went a little bit quiet, like for whatever reason. I don't know. Let's be honest, we were gifted the first goal. And was it a case of, right, well, we're in front now, so we can just relax again? Bit of a whiff of Wednesday night. What did you think of that?
Yeah, we always seem to start quite well. I thought in the game today, the sort of combinations working quite well. We were getting in sort of good positions before the goal, but we just weren't really, like, the last sort of final ball wasn't quite good enough. But I thought we did play quite well. I felt both the guys on the wings, there's a lot of pace in that attacking three of Walcott, Sanchez and Knox, and I thought we could really punish them that way, and it seemed like we could do. But like you said, once we got the goal, we did seem to lick the foot off the gas, like you say. And I don't know how long after the goal did Debuchy come off from? Was it a while or?
Hang on.
Now, aren't I? But it felt like literally as soon as he came off and Gabriel came on, it just felt like the team to shat themselves, and they seem to do it a lot, don't they? When a player comes off injured and it's sort of like not part of the plan, it's like, oh, what are we going to do then? I'm not going to lie, once I saw Gabriel coming on, you don't really want to move out Mustafi, because him and Koscielny have got a good partnership there. But I don't know how you guys feel, but with Gabriel at right back, I wasn't really confident at all. I was really worried. But to his credit, in the second half, he barely put a foot wrong and he put in the odd good couple of crosses. I think when you've got a player like that, you don't, because our fullbacks off for so much going forward, you do notice it when you put a centre back who's not really that sort of type of player. You notice it when you're used to Bellerin bombing down there and putting across, or even Jenko, because he's not a slouch, Jenko, and he can put a good cross in. So I was a bit worried about that. I thought they might attack that side a bit more, but they didn't seem to. And if they did, then I didn't really notice it. But I don't know. It's just, I seen when that initial change of Debuchy coming off, the team just went a bit bad. We couldn't really pass. We couldn't play out. And like John said, they just outplayed us for good periods of that first half, and they deserve to be on level terms at half time easily.
Yeah. Debuchy, 16 minutes he came off. So that was a bit of a blow. United level, by the way, Zlatan Ibrahimovic. You know that guy that's not good enough for the Premier League? Yeah, that's another goal for him.
He's playing West Ham.
It doesn't matter.
Hell, I could score against West Ham.
How long did he go for without a goal, though? It's quite a while, wasn't it?
John, you couldn't even score in a club last night. Shut your mouth.
Shut up.
Anyway, you could tell that cut deep. Oh, shut up. Right. Okay, so let's talk about sort of bits and bobs of the first goal, then. Are anybody going to give Alexis any credit for being in the right place at the right time? I suppose we should. I mean, it wasn't a tap in, was it? It was still a goal, wasn't it, that he had to be in the right place to take at the right time. So
I'd expect anyone of his quality. I was about to say I'd expect anyone in the Arsenal team to be able to score with that opportunity. But then I was like, maybe I'll take that back. But yeah, you expect him to finish there. He's in the right position and, like, pressure. He's not even really pressuring the centre-back. I've got no idea what that geezer was doing. Was it Stone? Was that his name? I've got no idea who the Bournemouth player is.
It was Cook, wasn't it? Was it Cook?
Cook.
Oh, was it Cook? Yeah. That's it. Sorry, yeah. Like, why he didn't play it down the line in the first place, and just really weird from a team that, all right, they're not the highest quality, but they're normally all fairly decent on the ball and can pass it about. But just one of those things, just completely under hit it and sold his keeper. And I think it was is that Harry Arter? It plays in midfield. Like, you could see him sort of jogging back, and he just looked at the little mishit pass and didn't even bother running back. And he normally puts in loads of effort and stuff, and he was just like, well, that's a goal. He knew straight away. Alexis still had to finish it, so that's good. The worrying thing was that we get gifted a goal. And we weren't playing that badly up to that point. We were playing okay, but we didn't apply any pressure then. You can see Bournemouth were a little bit shaky for 5 minutes after that. So you should have really, really gone at them and tried to rattle them a bit, and we just didn't apply enough pressure. That was the real disappointment after getting the goal we got gifted.
Yeah, nevertheless, gifted or not, we got the goal, and it was a good sort of building block to kick from there. And for 2 or 3 minutes, it looked like we were going to try and push for the second. And then out of nowhere comes the incident which led to the penalty. Now, I know Ellis's view. I'll get John's as well. So first, well, John, let me ask you, did you think it was or not? And then I'll go to Ellis and I'll come back to you.
No, I don't think it was a penalty. I think the reason it's given is because Monreal is doing some sort of, I don't know, like, the young kids dance like this now? I'm not sure. Is this what they do?
Rock side,
yeah. Just why he's throwing his arms up in the air like that, I've got no idea. Callum Wilson throws himself into Monreal. Don't be wrong, it's good forward play in the in the sense that he's bought a penalty. But no, it wasn't a penalty. He's just jumped into him. And because Monreal's arms are up in the air, I don't know if the ref thinks that he's sort of try to block him off there, or just put his arm across in his face. But if you look at it from the angle the ref saw it, maybe you can give it. But when you watch it from the other side, Callum Wilson's dived into him, and just as soon as he's made contact, and flung himself on the floor. So, no, yeah, it's not a penalty for me. I can see why it's given. I think Bournemouth were worth a goal, to be honest, the way they played in the first half. But I don't think it should have been given.
Fair enough. I'm going to be on my own here, I sense. Ellis, you didn't think it was either?
No, we had a conversation before we came on air, and I think literally the same reason why I thought it wasn't a penalty, John's highlighted perfectly. I thought there are angles where it does look like a penalty, but majority of the angles I thought, it's just Callum Wilson throwing himself into Monreal. And it's just like you said previously, when we talked about the United game and Monreal and Valencia came together, it was a similar sort of incident. And to quote your phrase, it was a coming together of two fine young gentlemen, which I don't know if I'd call them gentlemen, but hey-ho. But yeah, I just thought, I wouldn't say it was a penalty at all. I think being previously playing football, and when I used to play football, I used to play as a defender, I always want to give the defender a benefit of a doubt. But you made a great point off air about if that was the other end, and if that was Alexis or whoever, and they've been either shoulder and fallen over, we'd probably be screaming for a penalty. So you can see why it has been given. But from my point of view, in my opinion, it's not. But the only opinion that does matter is that of the guy who's blowing the whistle. So there's not much you can do about it. It's just the way it goes.
True, true. I thought it was. I try and be as objective as I can in my old age. But yeah, I felt, to me, personally, I thought it was very clear. I thought it was very much a penalty. I do agree that Monreal, Callum Wilson, I agree, does go to ground very easily. But if you look at some of the other penalties that have been given this season, I thought it was very, very clear. And the difference between this one and last, because I know there's been a lot of comparisons made with the penalty or non-penalty at Old Trafford, on Valencia last week, was Valencia was clearly going down before Monreal even comes across his path. Whereas I think in this instance, Callum Wilson, it's actually very clever centre forward play in that he gets his frame in front of Monreal. I think as you said, Ellis, if it's a coming together of shoulder to shoulder, then I say, yeah, okay, I can see where you're coming from. But in my opinion, from the angle I looked at it, I thought he ran across the path and he was clearly in front, and Monreal's falling into, as John said, arms flailing. To me, it says guilty. And you go back and watch the footage, look at all the Arsenal defenders, not one of them, Peter Cech especially, just walks off. He knows it's a pen. So yeah, granted, it's probably harsh, but in the modern day, especially with the referees, this new rule of minimal contact, for me, I just felt it was a pen. So, yeah, difference of opinion, and that's what we like about this show. So, I agree with what you said, Ellis. If that's at the other end, we're all livid. So, it's funny how the blinkers can come on at times, but nevertheless, it was taken and dispatched by a player I rather like, actually, Callum Wilson. Reminds me a bit of Mr. Wrighty. Maybe not as good, obviously, but still. And at that stage, it's 1-1. John, for long periods after we went to 1-1, we were, I believe the technical term is shit. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, we were. And also credit Bournemouth. They were very good.
Agreed.
They passed the ball nicely. Okay, at times we made it very easy for them because we were standing off them a lot. But when they were getting in around our box, they were putting together nice little moves, and the final ball wasn't always quite there. And they looked like the sort of comfortable home team looking to press the advantage and get the win. I think Debuchy going off injured did have an effect. It shouldn't have an effect in any way. Bringing on Gabriel, okay, I know he's not a right back, but it's not like you've lost one of your centre-back pairings or you've lost a midfield partnership pairing. You know, and Theo Walcott you got the goal. I don't think he was actually particularly good going forward today. What he was good at was, as Ellis mentioned earlier, was defending and tracking back and helping out, which he has been good of all season. I think that's the one thing that's changed about his game is his hard work. It shouldn't have affected the team that much, but it seemed to. And Bournemouth, yeah, if they'd taken their chances, I think it was Adam Smith, the right winger, had a really good headed chance that he should have at least got on target. And a few crosses and stuff they put in the box and a few little moves that on another day, they could have really punished us. So I think at the end of the first half, we were lucky to come out at 1-1. It was just confusing because at times, especially in the first half, it seemed there was no pressure, which is fine if you want to do that and let them have the ball. I don't have a problem when we do that because I think we're quite good on the counter and we win the ball back. We can play it very quickly. And we've got the players, obviously, in Alexis, Theo, Ox was on the pitch as well, who started the game fairly brightly. But then you have to pick a point in the pitch where you're going to start pressing the ball, and we just didn't seem to. Xhaka and Elneny, there was no real communication between the two of them at all in the first half as to when they were going to push together and when not. Elneny was caught up the pitch pressing and then sort of looking behind him going, oh, no one's followed me. Xhaka didn't know when to go or when he was supposed to shuffle across the cover. And it all just looked a little bit confused in there. We've kind of had this problem in midfield ever since Santi's gone out of the team. I know Steve has obviously been talking about it a lot in the group and saying that maybe a change of system is needed while Santi's out of the side, because the players don't look comfortable trying to play the same system without a player of his ability in the midfield to pull the passes. But yeah, credit Bournemouth, because they were definitely, you know, I don't think it was a penalty, but they were definitely worthy of a goal and outplayed us for, I think, the majority of the first half, to be honest.
The trouble is with that idea of changing the system is that I do think I know what would happen if we tried to do that. Do you remember when we changed to 4-1-4-1 at mid-season and everybody lost their shit because it took a good, month and a half for us to get used to it, and everybody was losing their shit. I mean, I know that's rare for everyone to lose their shit over absolutely nothing they can control, but I think that's the problem. I think we would we'd struggle to pick it up quickly. And I do take the point of missing Santi as a huge issue. Ask Liverpool fans how they're going to get on without Coutinho. It's the same thing. You know, people say, oh, we've only got one player who can do this job. And yeah, I agree. I think every player has that one player. If you take out that one decent player, I mean, look at that shit down the road. Without Jelly Belly playing at his optimum level, which, by the way, is still bang average, they haven't got any creativity at all in their midfield. So I just think that maybe we have to not so much change the system, but change the way we play, which is something I will come on to in the midfield.
I think even if you're not changing the system, I think that first half there just wasn't a clear direction of what the midfield were doing, when they were going to press or not. You know, when we were 1-0 up, when it was 0-0 and then we were 1-0 up, it was like, oh, okay, well, this is in the game plan because we were going to go a goal up and then probably get a second one. When they equalised, they didn't know what to do. They looked like they weren't prepared for, like, Bournemouth scoring a goal, as if it was just never going to happen in the game, and they didn't know how to react to it. Whether that's partly down to the manager, I think in part, obviously, it is the essence of preparing for that, but also the players on the pitch. We didn't have the ball for so long in the first half for long periods. Someone's got to sort of get the team together and grab them and have a word and say, right, no, okay, we're struggling a little bit here. Excuse me. We'll sit deep, you know, but we'll actually, from this point, from our final third, that's when we'll start the pressure and we'll apply the pressure, you know, not give people 5-6 metres of space so they can pass the ball around us nice and easy.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a hard one to judge, isn't it? I suppose until we see a chat. I mean, I wouldn't change this. I'd maybe just tweak the way we play as opposed to the formation. But maybe we'll come on to that in a second. But Alice, from your point of view, obviously when we got to the 2-1 up spell, which we'll come on to the second goal. Decent goal from Theo. I mean, good bit of approach play. I think it was Alexis's pass that set up the chance. Theo in the right place at the right time at the back stick, heading us back in front. Good work for Monreal, actually, who, you know, I thought got better as the game went on. At that stage, were you comfortable or did you still sort of have the twitches? Because it seemed when we got 2-1 up, the control returned for a period.
Yeah, I'd never say I'm comfortable. Like, 2-1 is a horrible sort of lead to defend, and one goal lead is always horrible to defend, because as soon as they score another goal, then your back's against the wall again, and then sort of the team that score then handed the initiative. But I felt when we did get that goal, we came out in the second half a bit better, and I think we deserved the goal. And like you said, it was a good ball from Monreal to pick out Walcott, and a good finish, and it's left open. He didn't have much to do, really. But I felt a bit more confident once we got the lead back again, and I thought that will mean that Bournemouth, even though they had been attacking us anyway, will have to come out a bit more. And I thought with the pace that we had in those front three with Ox and Walcott and Sanchez, we could really, if we could just get our pass in that a little bit more crisp, and with Xhaka as well, he can play those good balls out. I think he played a really good one to Sanchez, and then he played it through to Ozil. And Ozil, if he just maybe put a leg out or swung something out or just tried and dive a bit more for the ball, he may have got like a shot on target, but who knows. I think I wouldn't say I was massively confident, but it definitely opened up the game a bit more. And when Xhaka and Elneny got into the game, and when we sort of come out of a bit more direction and a bit more zazz about our play, I think it did. I was confident, but never too confident. You can't be with Arsenal, can you? Especially at that with a one goal lead.
No, nice use of the word zazz there, by the way.
I didn't really think of anything. Zazz was it.
I hope it's not zazza, because that would be tiptoeingly frightening, to be fair. John, at 2-1, it was one of those sort of games, really, wasn't it? At 2-1, yes, we were in front, but yet again, I wouldn't say we were under huge pressure, but Bournemouth never appeared to be out of the game until obviously we tied it up at 3-1. I listened to, well, I'm three quarters of the way through the podcast this week, and the guys made a good point, and I'm intrigued to get your views. Which side of the camp would you stand in as a manager? Go for 3-1 and tie game up as quickly as possible, or do the Alan Pardew effect and try and sort of sit deep and hope for the best, only to concede two late goals and lose a game in stoppage time, or obviously in our case, concede and then not be able to get back in the game? Are you more for killing it off, or are you more for sitting on what you've got for 10, 15 minutes?
No, I'm more for killing it off. I think whenever we score against any team, whoever it is, you can always see... I think it's true of any team, to be honest. Once, if you've just conceded a goal, you are nervy for 5-10 minutes, depending on the quality of the team, you recover quicker. But you can see Bournemouth both times, the first two goals we scored, there were that 5-minute spell where they're nervy. And that's generally when we play our best. And our very best games is when we get one goal and we score two or three straight after within a 10-minute period. And then we kill a game off. All our favourite games are everyone's for the last few seasons. Man United, Chelsea, the Bayern game, they've all been those little spells where we've got a few goals, killed the game off, and then we've been able to sit, be fairly comfortable. We can keep possession. We can give up possession if we want to, and then we're a danger on the counter. And as Ellis said, when you've got Walcott on Ox, Alexis, who was superb again today, Ozil, who was quiet for the first half, I thought, but second half really came into it and started to, pop up a lot more in the box and get on those sort of passes that he makes, then you're going to be able to dictate the game much easier. So I would have liked to go for it, but I didn't feel, when we got the second goal, I was a little bit more comfortable. It was still a bit nervy because Bournemouth had a few chances and they got forward, but we looked a little bit more comfortable. Like Xhaka was much better in the second half. I thought he was very poor first half. He started to actually make those passes from deep. Like Ellis said, the second goal as well, obviously you got a little bit of luck with the deflection, but the ball across from Monreal was superb, like first time cross, bit of redemption for the penalty giveaway, because he's had a lot of stick this season, Nacho. I don't think it's been his best year, but I think it's probably a lot of that's been down to who's been playing in front of him and not helping him out, to be honest. So it's been a little bit unfair. So it was nice to see him get on the end of it. And Theo as well, who obviously had gone a few games without a goal and coming back from that injury. Nice little baby celebration. Oh, yeah. Congratulations, Theo. And Melanie, is that it?
That's the one. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So I was a little bit more comfortable. Still, you're always going to be nervy, though, because it's Arsenal, because you know we can always fuck it up. But,
confidence.
You know.
Sad, but true.
Yeah, they had their few chances, but we had Mr. Cech was called into action just once in the game, really.
Yeah,
he made his clearance.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in the right place. All right, it was straight at him, but he still had to do it. He dealt with that. The one thing I would come on to later is our fucking defending from crosses and corners is woeful. But
I've got that noted. Don't worry. Yeah, I've got that on my sheet of imaginary notes.
Yeah, I'll let you get on to the next point.
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, 3-1 finish it off nicely was the third Alexis goal. Good work again on the far side. Was it Giroud? I think actually laid it into his path and a tidy
into Ozil.
Yes, of course it was. Yeah, you're right. Decent little goal to finish up. Not a lot to dissect in that goal, really. A breakaway and tied it up at 3-1, killing my prediction. Cheers for that, Alexis, you prick. But no, jokes aside, 3-1 is a lot more comfortable than 2-1. But let's talk about some of the areas of concern, or maybe not concern, I don't know. Ellis, let's start with that midfield area, shall we? People obviously were clamouring for Granit Xhaka to start again. El Nene and Xhaka was a different partnership today. Two-pronged attack on this one. Let's start with Xhaka. I thought he was really poor first half. I've got to be honest, I don't really, maybe I'll get John's take on this as well in a minute. I don't really understand those people who say that he can do the Sanji role, because for me, he's just a completely different type of player. And I also don't understand these people that say, oh, he should be our holding midfielder because he's the best defensive midfielder we've got. He isn't. It's not his game. Just because he puts in tackles, it doesn't mean he's the best defensive midfielder we've got, in my opinion. So, second half, I thought he was much better. Now, I don't know whether that was because we changed the system. I don't know whether that was because we pushed him slightly into a slightly more central, as in centre of the pitch kind of role. What did you make of it overall? Because the first half, he looked like he was running in treacle for me, and then second half, much more free.
Yeah, what can you say about Xhaka? It's a bit of a conundrum, really. I can't remember a player that we've spent such a high amount of money on that hasn't really started, which does make you think a bit. But I think that's the main reason people want him to start, because I don't know how much people watched him at Mönchengladbach. Obviously, John probably has quite a bit, or how much people watch German football to know how good he is. But I don't think a lot of people are clamouring for start have seen him play or even know a great deal about him. Like, I won't admit I didn't know much about him before we signed him. I still don't really know much. I don't know what his best position is. And as for him being our best holding midfielder, he's not a very good tackler, in my opinion. Well, from what I've seen, his tackles aren't great. They're good and stuff when you want your player to get stuck in and like wipe another player out or something like that. But as for actual law, by the letter of the law, and actual tackling, I don't think he's great. I agree with you. First half, he struggled a bit. I thought, like you said, sort of running in treacle, not really making as much of an impact as you like. But I think our whole sort of midfield struggled a bit. I think Elneny didn't really contribute too much. I think, like I said previously, the change of Debuchy for Gabriel seemed to put us on the back foot, and then obviously the goal, and we all went a bit shit and a bit like, oh God, what's going on? But second half came along. I don't know what happened, whether Wenger had a word in his ear or like the formation or whatever. He did step up, and that is one thing that he offers that Coquelin doesn't seem to have. He's got quite good ball distribution, which is why I think people might sort of see him as like the Cazorla replacement, because he can distribute the ball, but he's not the type of player like Cazorla who can sort of wriggle out of free players, get out and then lay off the ball. And he's not as athletic and a destroyer like Coquelin. So he's not really similar to anyone in our midfield. He's very different. And I think that's possibly why we spent so much money on him, to get someone a bit different, add a bit another sort of dimension to our midfield. And when he does work and when he does play well, he does look really good. Like I mentioned the chance earlier where he played out a good ball to Sanchez, who then came back in and nearly laid it on the plate for Ozil. And there's another time as well when he looked for Giroud when he came on. He does offer that sort of long ball that we're not used to playing too much. And he's also not afraid to shoot from outside the box, which from an Arsenal player, until Wenger trains it out of him, it's interesting to see. Sometimes they go sky high and sometimes he scores two, like he did against Nottingham, and I think it was Hull, his other screamer. So there's lots to like about Xhaka. He does have his good points, just like all of our players do in midfield. But I don't know, it's a bit of a conundrum really with him.
yeah, a bit of a weird one. Again, it does amaze me how many people seem to know. I think you make a great point there. I think there's a lot of people that, you know, I'm not saying everyone should do their, you know, stats and pore over videos of a player just to know what they play like. But there's so many people that pipe up every time a player doesn't play. It's, oh, he should be doing this because he does that. It's like, you probably haven't really actually seen a lot of him, really. So I think it's fair for you to admit that sometimes people just make judgments on price tags or reputations. John, what's your thoughts on Xhaka, and also on Elneny? Because I think he's got a lot of unnecessary stick today. I don't think he pulled up any trees, but people saying he's not Arsenal quality. I'm not sure I agree with that at all, to be honest. But, you know, he's very Danielson, yes. He's very Arteta, yes. But I think that's what he was bought to do, and I think he does it very well. So what's your thoughts on him?
I thought the midfield in general was poor in the first half. I didn't think it was great. I think picking out individuals in that is probably not really worth it. Second half, I thought it was much improved. I did think Elneny looked a little bit lost today. He wasn't quite sure where his position was and when he was supposed to get higher up the pitch and not. Xhaka's really interesting because when I watched him at Gladbach, he wasn't a DM. He was sort of the deeper player who would play passes, but he would go box to box as well. And I don't think Wenger even knows, because a few weeks ago he was saying he's a box to box midfielder, and then this week he came out and said he's a deep lying playmaker. Well, the manager said two completely different things about the same player in the space of what, a month? So I'm not sure he knows how to get the best out of him. The reason why I wanted to see him next to Ramsey is because whilst Elneny has the high energy and everything like Ramsey does and will make all the runs and move around the pitch, and Elneny can sit a bit deeper, I do think Ramsey is the better player, which is why I'd like to see them together. I don't have a problem with Elneny. I think he's good and the energy he ejects into the team, and his passing's solid, if not spectacular. There's nothing wrong with it. I just think you're not going to get anything too particularly creative from him. What I'd like to see him doing is, because he's got that energy and that engine, just to be the man who runs around the pitch. And if someone needs to loan in the ball for like 5 seconds and then just give it straight back to him. So if Ozil's under a bit of pressure, Elneny will come to him, give him the ball so he can find himself in a little bit of space and he can just get a 2-3 yard pass back to him just to open up the pitch a bit more. And he just needs to be that player just running around, sort of. It's the underrated, not exciting. He's probably only passing the ball sideways or forwards 5 yards throughout a game, but he's doing it all over the pitch and just helping the rest of the team move up slowly. So that's fine for me. For Xhaka, I think you're going to see his best games when he does get to sit deeper, and you'll see him sort of drop in between the two centre-backs and just pick passes out. And you saw in the second half that he was allowed to do that a bit more because Bournemouth are the team that will play more open and give him a bit more space to operate in. So there'll be more room for him to hit those passes for those balls in behind. Most of the time when we're playing at home, the teams are going to sit deep and it's not really going to suit him or his style of play. So you'll see him be more box-to-box in those kind of games because he'll be able to get up the pitch a bit higher. I think you see the best of him in like European games is probably where you'll see him play best.
I think that's the other thing that people forget as well with Xhaka, and to a lesser extent Elneny. They're still players that are still transitioning into their new surroundings, into their new systems. I mean,
and Chris has either pulled out his headset or muted himself. He's not really sure.
He's dead.
See, this is what happened. Oh, Chris, you back. No, you still 2 minutes, 2 seconds. I don't know, he's still muted. Oh, this is why you don't work with children, animals, or pirates on live radio, because, yeah, it doesn't work. Oh, and Gaz, yeah, my house is a little bit cold. That's why I'm wearing a hat inside. Is Chris, are you back? Hello, Chris. Hello.
He's waving.
Waving. Not
he's
doing
not
anything.
Thinking.
Okay, Chris will be back with us in a second. Right, anyway. God, it's terrible. Why don't we talk about... Ah, here we go. Everyone's talking about Ramsey. Okay, Ellis, what did you think of Ramsey when he came on?
Oh, Ramsey, what to say about Ramsey? You could go on for fucking ever talking about Aaron Ramsey. I don't know what other people's like Twitter feeds are like, but there's a few people on my feed that have proper got like an agenda for Ramsey to play, and they say Ramsey and Xhaka will be the perfect partnership, and people don't realise how good Ramsey is, and they reel off all these stats. And then the other half of my time, I was like, Ramsey, shit, sell him off, bin him, he's rubbish. And there's people popping up in the chat box now who are digging out Ramsey and saying, why do people keep sticking up for him? I think his problem is, I think his best position is probably a more advanced midfield role, not necessarily a cam, maybe a cam, but he's not going to take Ozil's spot. He doesn't like playing out on the right or left mid, really. He always says that he prefers to be central, and we see it as well when we play him out on the right or the left, and he sort of drifts in and cuts in. And I don't know. I don't know what to say about Ramsey. I do like the player. I like the fact that he tries hard. He doesn't hide. He'll try these flicks and tricks that are frustrating when they don't come off. When they do come off, they look good, and we'll quite easily sort of love it when Ozil does something like that. But Ozil can afford to do those tricks and them not pay off because he's a bit more advanced up the pitch. Whereas when Ramsey's playing a bit deeper or on the wings and he loses possession there, then they're straight down the wing whipping in across, or they're in the middle of the park in a quite good position. So it is difficult. I just don't know. I think Ramsey needs a good partner. We saw the best of him in that season when he was partnered with Mikel Arteta, when he had that really good season. Is Xhaka that guy that can be like Mikel Arteta and bring the best out of Ramsey? I'm not sure. I don't really know. But I still think he's a good player who has a lot of quality and he can offer something to the team. Whether he'll stick around, like people have said, for another season, or he might move on. I know there's been rumours of an offer from Real Madrid, but if Ramsey can't show what he's got in an Arsenal shirt, I doubt he can do it in a Real Madrid shirt or a Barcelona shirt.
Yeah, it always comes down to this sort of, there's the pro-Ramsey camp and anti-Ramsey camp, which was, I don't know why you have to be one or the other, but yeah. I thought he was good when he came on today. He linked up well. You saw some pace in the play as well. He's coming back from a injury. He had a long summer as well, a really good summer that everyone seems to have forgotten about. So, I don't know. I think you've got to give him time. And also, like, he's playing with Xhaka as a brand new player in the team. Alexis has changed positions now. The best season you had, like you said, was when he played next to Arteta. But the best run the Arsenal team had was when he played on the right-hand side. So, I don't know. I don't know why all the hatred for him, because our win percentage with him in the team is higher than when he's not in it. So I don't. The people just not want him in the team, so he don't win as much. I don't get it personally. But shall we see if the pirate is back, Chris?
Nope.
No, he's still not there. Have you tried turning it off and turning it on again? Yeah. No.
My internet's in Norfolk, and even I haven't got this problem.
Have you put the lead back into the big silver box thing that's called the computer? Yep, okay, he's done that. Yeah, never mind. Oh, dear. I did also want to highlight one of the Bournemouth players who I thought was very good today, Nathan Aki. I thought he was brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
Young kid from, is he Chelsea, isn't he?
Chelsea Loney, I think, yeah.
Yeah, I thought he was really, really good today. Very, very, I'd be surprised. Well, I was going to say I'd be surprised if Chelsea sell him, but then again. Oh, he spoke. Oh,
hello.
Oh, he's back.
Hello.
Hey.
Fucking technology. Oh, fuck this shit. I don't get paid enough to deal with this technology bollocks. I mean, you know, if I'm going to pull my lead out, Google should recognize that and immediately patch me back in. It's not my fault, is it? Anyway, hi. Right. Do you want to go again, or should I stick around?
Yeah, you can have your show back now.
Fucking stupid bloody technology. Anyway, where were we? Can we talk about Debushi for a bit? Because I feel like we haven't done that
yet. Go on then.
I don't want to get on the Ramsey thing again because it bores me. Ramsey's shit. Sell him. No, I'm joking. He's a lightning rod, isn't he, at the moment? So let's not pick on Aaron, eh? Even me. No, I'm not going to pick on anybody. But I want to pick up about Debushi. Because I popped out a little tweet before the game and said I was pleased to see him back. I've long defended him. People have got very short memories. He was very, very decent before he got the injury was Stoke, wasn't it, with the shoulder injury. That was the start of it. Didn't he have a leg? I can't remember if he broke the leg or just had a serious leg. I can't remember now. It's that far, far long ago. But he came back into the side today, and he didn't last very long. And news from our man on the ground, Mr. Collings, is that it could be quite a serious injury. Now, I thought it looked like just a muscle injury, which Dom has said many times when players come back after long injuries, that, you know, it's often they get that little spell where they're just not quite up to speed and something goes twang. John, let's start with you. I thought he was very, very decent when he first started. First start of the game, he was energetic up and down, and then he got the injury and bang, off he went. What did you make of it and his performance before he got off? And just a word for him, because it's desperately unlucky when we need a right back, I think, because as much as I love Carl and everything that goes with him, he's not, let's be honest, he's not really good enough, is he?
I don't know with Jenkinson. I seriously don't know. He was very good at West Ham, and he's come off, what was he out for, like a year? Maybe something like that. He's had 2-3 games. So I think it's a little bit hard to judge him on that. He's certainly one of the few players in our team who can actually fucking cross a ball, because we haven't got many of them. Normally just ping it straight at the first man. Debushi, yeah, I thought he was decent in the game. You didn't see tons from him because he wasn't in it for long enough. I didn't think he had a future at Arsenal at all. After he made the whole fuss about, oh, well, if I'm not going to play, then I'm leaving. Well, sorry, mate, it's not down to you. You've got a contract. Tough shit. Get on with it. If you're not playing well enough, then you're not going to get in the team. So, sorry, Gaz has just called me a sexy jippo. I feel a bit sorry for him, but I don't wish ill on any of our players ever or injure anything like that. But there are certainly some of our fans who were not cheering, but maybe were a little bit pleased to see him get injured because they were really pissed off with the sort of comments he'd come out with about wanting to leave the club and not being played and everything else. So I don't know. Maybe a few weeks he'll, he'll come back and he'll be all right again. But we do need him because I don't know how long this Bellerin injury is going to be. Callum James has obviously gone, so we need other options at right back. And as decent as Gabriel was today, and Bournemouth are an okay team, it was still only Bournemouth. So in the bigger games, I'd be a bit worried. I think he also did have the slight advantage that near enough every single team this season has targeted our left-hand side of the pitch as sort of seemingly the weak area to attack. So maybe he wasn't as examined as much down his side.
Just to clarify, you're not saying you kind of like if some players get injuries, are you?
No. Don't get me wrong. There's plenty of players in our team that annoy the fuck out of me, and if I saw them, I'd love to give them a slap. I'll still cheer them, but I'd still be like, fucking, yeah. I love Alexis, but like today, I would have, like that time when he could have played in Ozil when he was running clean through the middle and he just did his little spin on the spot like he's like a, you know, like when a dog's like, spins round three times and then sits down. He does that on the ball, doesn't he? Which is really cool because it confuses the team. But Ozil was clean through, and you saw Wenger go mental. I'd love to grab him and just give him a slap sometimes and say, "You fucking look."
Yeah.
But I'm not going to moan because he'll just pull something out of nothing and twat the crossbar for fun because he gets bored and there's no one to pass to.
Well, there is that. Yeah, I was just going to say, like, that any Arsenal fan, I'll say any Arsenal fan because I have long wished injuries on Spurs players and I have no shame in admitting that. But anybody who is a fan of Arsenal and wishes injuries on players, fuck off, basically. All of you, just fuck off. Because that is, I mean, I just don't understand it. I've seen it before. You know, we saw it when the Ramsey campaign was at its height and people said, oh, just fucking hope he gets injured so we don't have to worry about it. But honestly, an utterly moronic thing to say. If you feel that way, I don't think football is the sport for you. I think you're an idiot just putting that out there. just had to say that. Ellis, what do you make of the situation at right back? Because Giroud is injured as well, according to Rudy. Interesting. We'll come back to that. But yeah, the Debussy situation, I think right back is an area that we need to address. I mean, as I say, I'm not knocking Carl Jenkinson. I like the guy and, you know, he's good. He's good. He's good. He wouldn't be at Arsenal if he wasn't good. My worry is that he's just good. And I think if you look at teams that play us, they often target him. Says a lot to me. And maybe West Ham was a good level for him. I'm just not sure he's at Arsenal level. So losing Debussy, it is a blow, isn't it? Because it's another player that we can't rely on now with, as John said, Bellerin out for unspecified period of time.
Yeah, like you say, Janko's not an amazing player. He doesn't set the world alight. I know a few people who are West Ham fans and they weren't massively enamoured with him when he was there. I think that probably is his sort of level. I think he gets an easier ride because he's a typical Arsenal fan and he comes out of stuff like the comments that went around about, oh, it's difficult to get into Europe, just us Spurs, shit like that. We love all that sort of stuff because he's a proper Arsenal lad, but you can't just be sentimental about it. If he's not good enough, then we should get another replacement. As for Debussy, I'll echo what John said. He wanted to leave, so it's sort of like, well, fuck him. But I do feel sorry for the bloke because he was sort of, when he started his career, Arsenal was doing all right and just got an injury. And then that's when obviously Bellerin got his chance, grabbed it with both hands and never really looked back. He's had an opportunity today and it's gone away from him. He's just a bit fragile, really, isn't he? Bless him, poor bastard. But I'm not sure what we can really do. I think if you look across the league, most teams in the Premier League, there is a drop in quality in their reserve right backs. There's only a few teams that probably boast they've got two decent right backs or two decent left backs. I think on the left hand side we're sort of okay with Nacho and Gibbs, but there is sort of a quite a noticeable dip, especially with Bellerin, because he's turned into such a critical player for us. He offers us so much going forward and his pace is just so vital in getting back when you push forward. I think other right backs, Debussy couldn't get into the advanced positions that Hector Bellerin can get to because he just hasn't got the pace to get back and cover it. You only got to go on YouTube or on Twitter and see some of the videos they've made of Bellerin when he's sprinting back and winning the ball. Like, a couple, was it last season against Swansea when he was like literally in their own box, ran back and nicked the ball off Gomez, or previously in the 3-0 against Chelsea when he's tackled Pedro. He's such a quality player, and I think whoever we sort of bring in, if we do bring anyone in the future, still isn't going to be of that level, and there will be a drop off, and you've got to make do in those situations. You can't have, football is now a squad game, but you can't have 24 really world-class quality players, because they'll get fucked off that they're not getting games, and they'll be able to get games elsewhere. So it is difficult. I can't think of a solution off the top of my head now who would be a good person to get in. We've had options, obviously, when we brought Chambers in, and even though people probably consider him more of a centre-back now, and he's obviously gone out on loan. Jenkinson's gone out on loan and come back. Debuchy's had injuries. And there's definitely space there to bring someone in, but I wouldn't know who off the top of my head.
Yeah, I do. The injuries, I mean, I wouldn't say they're mounting up, but just the latest news, I'm just getting it through now as we speak. Giroud has a potential hamstring injury. That's 6 weeks then. And Debuchy's injury described by Arsene Wenger as a severe one. I need to speak to the medical people.
Is Perez back in training, though?
He is set to play. He's set to play on Wednesday, Southampton, I think. So, yeah, I mean, he's back, but I think I said on the PSG show, I'm not convinced that he's ready for a prolonged spell in this side yet. I think he looks like a player, but I'm just not sure he's ready to come in for
it. You can't bring him in for a string of games. He's only just come back from an injury.
Yeah. And I don't think he's physically ready yet either. Just like watching him in games, he doesn't seem to be at that level yet. So, but and Debuchy injury severe. I mean, that doesn't sound good, does it? It really doesn't sound, especially at his age as well. But yeah, we shall see. It's a bit of a worry. The Giroud injury, I mean, that to back up your point from earlier, John, that means more games for Alexis, which only inevitably leads to the fact that he could get burnt out as well. We've got the tough Christmas period coming up. It's a bit of a worry. I suppose the only saving grace is we've got a transfer window in coming up soon where we can buy no one. So that will be fine. It will all be good there. I jest, of course. John, defence. Wanted to talk about this. Concerns about how we defend, how we have this habit of... Somebody brought up a brilliant, brilliant point yesterday. It was on Twitter, which is rare in itself. I can't remember who it was, so forgive me. But they were talking about the Spurs-Chelsea game. And they said, that, I think it was Steve McManaman on some platform or other, Scouse TV or some shit. And he kept saying... he was having a go at Spurs and basically said, they need to stop messing about with the ball back there and just get it clear. And the person who tweeted it said that's exactly why England will never win anything at any professional level, because they don't have the ability to learn to play football out from the back. Is there an argument that we arguably do it a bit too much, in that we're so insistent on trying to get it forwards by passing it out gently rather than just getting rid at times? Is that a fair argument?
It's one of the problems, yeah. I don't have a problem with playing the ball out from the back. But when there was periods in the game when we were under so much pressure and they tried to do it, and we got lucky quite a few times that they sort of scrambled about. But it's not just that, it's dealing with the crosses. The amount of times we weren't winning headers, or the ball was dropping in our box and then we were like clearing it on the second attempt. You know, we were very, very lucky today. You know, Afobe, the ball fell to him and he just hit it first time, sort of, you know, anywhere towards the goal. And luckily, Cech was there. Another day, that goes in and it's 2-2 and it's a different game. You can't let the ball drop in the box that many times. Especially when, you know, later on in the season, we're going to come up against better opposition who will take those chances and will punish us and won't give us as many chances at the other end, like Bournemouth did today. So it's really concerning. It's something that's been happening all season, in particular from corners and set pieces. We've been really poor defensively. Like Mustafi and Koscielny have been very good in open play together. And it's still a new partnership and they still are learning. And there's the odd slip every now and again. But I think for the most part, they've been very impressive how quickly they've gelled together. But just from set pieces defensively, we've been very, very poor this season. And teams have picked out what players to run off. And it's I don't have a problem with zonal marking. It's fine. if you do it properly. Because if you're doing it properly, you don't concede goals. But the problem is we're not doing it properly, and people aren't picking up the areas that they're told to. You saw it in the PSG game when Lucas got the header. You know, Jenkinson and Mustafi, they've got three players, and there's two of them, and they're covering an area, and then they're not sure, am I going with the man or am I covering the area? And it happened a few times today with people, you know, Adam Smith completely unmarked for that header that he put over the bar. No one picking up there or paying attention. And that's going to really come back to bite us later in the season. The positive, obviously, is that we won the game today. That's great. But I just don't think we can give those opportunities up in other games. So I just hope that we learn from it. But it's been happening so many times, it's starting to get a bit of a worry.
Fair enough. And at the end of the day, nobody wants balls dropped in their box. So, you know, nobody needs that. Just a little nudge to... where is he? Mike Feinberg. Hello, Mike. he knows why. Right. Let's get some sort of overall thoughts then as we look ahead to Southampton in the week, and then we'll take some listener questions. Thoughts on the Southampton game. Obviously, a win is a win today. Positive. I'm happy. You know, I don't... Obviously, you want a good performance. I didn't think we were particularly bad today. I thought we were fairly good. It wasn't the most, you know, faultless performance, but a win is the most important part. And obviously, we move on now to the CFL Cup game. I just want to get your thoughts on how important you see this game, because I see it as a trophy we can win. I see it as an opportunity to play some fringe players who are still high level. What sort of side would you look at, Ellis, for this particular game, and how many changes would you be looking to make? Do you see it as an important fixture or not?
Me personally, I've never put too much into the EFL Cup as like a trophy that I'd like to win. Obviously, if we get towards the latter stages of the competition, then it'd be nice to win a trophy and go as far as we can. I did always sort of like it. In previous seasons, we used to see the youngsters coming through, like Carlos Vela and Fran Marida, even Cesc Fabregas came sort of through in those fixtures, didn't he? So it's interesting to sort of see these players that you might not know not much about and see if they can make a push and get into the first team. But as for the competition as a whole, it's not a massive one. I wouldn't be too disappointed if we went out. The only thing I will say is that the longer we stay in this competition, the better it is for the fans, because the last two... or few games that have been in the EFL Cup have been like £10 tickets, which for the guys that have, like for me myself, I've been a student for the last 3 years, and it's quite hard to afford a game. Obviously, if you get a Category A game, you're looking at like £65+ a ticket. So £10 a ticket is quality, really, to go to like the Emirates Stadium and see a half good team. Obviously, you're not going to see like a full strength 11, but you're going to see some quality players there, and it's a great stadium to go to if people haven't gone there before. So the further we go in the competition, the better it is for people like myself who can get a nice cheap ticket and go to it. But as for the team, I think we'll probably see a bit of rotation, not quite as young as we have gone in the past, because that seems to have gone out the window. I think we've got quite a big squad now, so there's players that are sort of knocking the door and asking for starts, the likes of Gabriel. I don't know what's happened to Rob Holden. I haven't seen him around in photos on like trainer or anything like that. So maybe he might get like a start. Maitland-Niles has made a few appearances in the cup so far, so hopefully he'll get a bit more of a run out. And obviously you've got Jeff and Rennie Adelaide. He's Rennie Adelaide. And who's the other guy? Zellem. That's it, of course. So you might see a few of them, but I think it'll probably be a strongest squad. But we did get knocked out last year, didn't we, by Southampton with one of their stupid wonder goals that we seem to concede quite regularly. So it'll be an interesting game, and I'll be listening to it on the Arsenal player, but I'm not too fussed if we go out. But like I said, the longer you stay in the competition, the better.
Agreed. And I can confirm, actually, Rob Holding is actually Andrew Fife Butler now. So that's where he is currently. John, thoughts on the EFL Cup? Do you give a toss? And if you do, who would you like to see get a game, and reasons why, maybe?
I always care about winning. I'd want to win the game. The competition, I'm not overly bothered. It's obviously the bottom of the list for all the trophies that we're in. But I'd like to see, I think some of the names there that Ellis mentioned, like Rob Holding, who we saw at the start of the season, I thought was really good, looked very bright, especially for someone so young and jumping up a league. I think Gabriel probably would have been in the game. But now that Debussy's got the injury, he might now not appear. So maybe we'll see who's the young Polish lad. Oh, God, I've forgotten his name.
Christian Bielik.
Bielik, yeah. So maybe we'll see Holding and Bielik. And that's a little bit risky, but we might see them as a pair because they might have to save Gabriel just in case we need that rotation at right back. So they might not want to risk him. So yeah, Maitland-Niles maybe plays right back. Gibbs will come in, I guess. Iwobi, who's been out for a few games. Elneny maybe would be one of the midfielders you might keep in there just to keep a bit of seniority in the team. And like you said, hopefully Perez, if he's come back from this injury, maybe he can sort of get 60 minutes under his belt in a, which should be a fairly competitive game. I imagine Southampton will play a youngish team, but their youth product is normally very good. So yeah, should be a decent match. I don't think it'll be a very easy one. So the other bonus as well is that you hope that Alexis won't be in the squad at all and hopefully he gets you know, the rest of the week off, or at least from match days anyway, to give him a rest. Because if that Giroud injury is any sort of long period of time, then we're going to need him as fit as possible.
Yeah, I think he probably will get the night off, Alexis, as will Meza, I would imagine. I think you'll probably see Coquelin play that game, given the fact he was off today.
Yeah.
Or Elneny, maybe Ramsey will play in that central midfield again. It's an interesting time to... Because we're at home, aren't we, from memory? So...
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. So it seems like a good chance to maybe blood a few of the youngsters in amongst our own fans rather than away from home. So, yeah, we shall see. And maybe we might find another Hector or another Iwobi like we did last time we had to blood a youngster. So we shall see. Also, good to see, very briefly before we wrap up today's game, nice to see Danny Welbeck in good spirits. Listening to the Askcast this week, they had the photographer on there, Stuart McFarlane, and he was saying that Welbeck was pushing to be on the bench last week. So he's obviously, yeah. So I think maybe slightly tongue in cheek, but I guess that would suggest that he's getting to the stage where he will be joining training again soon.
That's good news.
It is good news. Yeah,
we're going to need him, aren't we? Really, let's be honest, especially after into this winter break in January.
Absolutely, yeah. And I hate to use the old cliche of like a new signing, but if he comes back over the Christmas period into the new year, that could be the FA Cup coming back into focus, Champions League next stage, could be a really useful addition. So, let's hope he doesn't get any setbacks, because that's the biggest worry when a player comes back after so long out, because that's what he did last time, after all. Yeah. So let's hope it goes well. Okay, let's finish with some questions then. If you put a question in the box and we haven't already mentioned it, then just put it in again, because we might have missed it. So first one I can see from Ellis is there, so I'll give this one to you, John. Why are Gunners so harsh on Iwobi? OG wasn't his fault. People forget he was one for the Golden Boy Award. Better chance than Dele Alli from Cole Like Desi. What did you think, John, of Iwobi? Because I'm with Cole McDessie on this one, or Cole Like Desi, because I think it's very easy to slate a young player who's only had 6 months of first team experience.
No, I really like Iwobi. I think he's probably better through the middle, but because he's so young, he's obviously not going to take Ozil's place, and playing out on the wing is generally a little bit easier on you. You're not going to get kicked to pieces out there. He's guilty of leaving the fullback exposed too much. But that's just an age thing. That is literally his experience of knowing when to drop, paying attention. He's very full of himself, which you need to, because he's that style of player. I think there was the clip going around of him when he was playing for Nigeria against, I can't remember the team now, but he does the sort of the rainbow flick over a player's head just for no reason. Just, if anything, just to show off, because he can do it. And that's great. And I love those sort of flair players. They're very exciting to have. And it's nice to have one from our actual youth development. So it's just someone who just needs time and needs to learn defensively. I think in previous years, you might have seen him like get chucked in at right back in a game just for like 5-10 minutes, just and get watch him get hosed. Sort of. Do you remember when Ramsey was thrown in there a few times in a couple of games, and it was like, oh, okay, I need to pay attention defensively. I kind of get the message now. So I don't know if we've got the ability to do that anymore, because we're trying to compete on so many fronts. But yeah, it's just something he'll learn with time. But yeah, I really, really like him. I think he's got a great future. He's, for someone so young, he's got amazing ability with a ball. Like, his first touch is incredible. it's honestly, it's better than some of the real first team players, sort of senior pros that we've got in the side. So, yeah, he's got a great future ahead of him. So I really like Iwobi. It's just a time period thing. People forget how young he is. Because I think for the short period he was linked with being an English player instead of a Nigerian player, he got hyped up too much.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Yeah, and like you said, you know, people forget how young these players are and the pressure that's on them every time. And, you know, I've seen enough to know that he's a player that the manager trusts and rightfully so has given him an opportunity to play. Everyone bangs on about our lack of youth players coming through the system. Well, there's one, so let's not bash him. That's my thought on that one. A question from Bavia, our good friend. Which left-back should we try and get in the summer? I don't think we need one, really. I mean, Kieran Gibbs doesn't want to go, so unless he's going to be forced out of the club, because he could have been sold this summer. I think Liverpool were on his case and he didn't want to go. I'm quite happy with Monreal. I don't understand why everyone is still going on about him. I still think he's easily one of the best left backs in the league, if not top two or three. So I personally don't see the need for a left back myself, but to each their own. Maybe I know we were looking in the summer, but I think that was with a view to Gibbs going. So I don't see any reason. Maybe Monreal after, maybe this time next year, or, you know, another season gone, maybe then Monreal will be slowing down. That's the time to look. But for me, we're all right where we are. Let's just find another Bellerin to come through the system. Maybe that's the way of doing it. John Bernstein, this one for you, Ellis. Will Jack have a place in this squad next year?
I think he can. I think with Jack's injury record, you can't really ever bank on him being fit for a season. So I don't think you can really plan for him to be on there, be in the team. If he's fit, he might get chances. If he's not, obviously he's not going to. It all depends on how this season pans out of Bournemouth. I haven't really paid too much attention to Bournemouth and how he's been playing, but he obviously got a call up to England, didn't he, in the latest international break because of how he's performing at Bournemouth. So he must be doing something right to get back into the England squad for that. I think he's definitely got a spot if he can prove his fitness. He has got a spot on this team, and I've always thought that. Whether this loan move to Bournemouth has spelled the end for his Arsenal career, or if it's just something to sort of get him a bit more fitness and a bit more game time, because like I said previously, you can't really rely on him due to his injury record. He's definitely got a place in this squad purely from what he brings. A lot of our midfielders, these central midfielders, they've all got different qualities to each other, which is good because it gives you a lot of strings to your bow. And the same thing with Jack. I think compared to the rest of the guys in midfield, he's the closest thing to Santi Cazorla. He's the only person I can see in that midfield who can sort of wriggle out of those tackles and make those sort of driving runs. But he then probably doesn't possess the same passing range as Santi or Xhaka. So there's space for him there if he's fit and he gets his chance, but you just don't know if Jack Wilshere, he's got such a poor injury record. If he can maintain his fitness at Bournemouth, then he's got every chance to be still, in my opinion, a big player for Arsenal.
Yeah, I agree with that. Wizzy had, what, two, maybe three 90 minutes this season? It's hardly a basis to go, aha, he's back. I just don't think it's, I don't think it's not concrete enough for me. And I've said a few times, and I will say again, I'm very on the fence with Jack. I love him as a player. I love the fact he's an Arsenal boy. You know, I love his passion and everything. Some of the comments, though, just not sure. I don't know. I worry that he's another one of these who puts country before club. And I know why people say, well, it's the height of your footballing career. Bollocks, is it? I'm sorry. We pay the wages. If you don't want to put in the effort to play for us before your country, I'm not sure that's good enough for me. And I can't help but wonder if that was part of the reason why we agreed to let him go. I don't know. I'm just wonder on that. But if Jack can stay fit, if he can come back, if he can perform at a high level, there's a lot of ifs there, isn't there? So time will tell. The new contract will be very interesting because I don't think he's going to be offered the same money he was on last time. Or, you know, I don't think he'll be offered a very big increase. So that'll be very interesting to see whether he sticks around with the offer he's given. Okay, a couple more then. Bavia, I wanted to ask another question. I'll come back to that because let's give everyone a chance, shall we? One from our very own Josh. You can have this one. John Ozil was a lot better today. Do you think his issue in the last few games was trying to adapt back to playing with Giroud? Doesn't look like... Who doesn't drop like Alexis and picks the ball up from him? Do you think that's a fair point? Because I think there's something in that, to be honest.
Yeah, the team plays totally different when Giroud's up front, obviously, to Alexis. The movement's not the same. It's a static sort of player to pivot off of. And Ozil's game is very different. He's seeming to enjoy the, you know, Alexis dropping in, and it gives him space to run in behind, and the centre-backs aren't sure who to pick up. So it gives him a chance to get into the box and get on the end of things and maybe get a goal. And we've seen that so far this season. So I think there's a little bit of it. I do think sometimes he still goes quiet for periods in games. Sometimes he gets eased off the ball a little bit too easily. But he almost... You can see that it happened once or twice today, but then you can... He sort of gets annoyed by it, doesn't get the decision from the referee, and then it kind of fires him up. And then you see him make a brilliant run. And he beats three players to the ball and does a ridiculous little backheel pass, and the Ox didn't quite read it, and it would have been an amazing goal. So he's really difficult to judge sometimes, Ozil, because he does have that languid, it's really hard to read. And he's deceptive how quick he is, and he's got that kind of Pires flat-footed... You don't really notice how fast he's moving, but he actually is, and he's really difficult to deal with. And you saw today, like on the goal that Theo scored, there's, you know, Ozil's turning the players inside him out, and they don't know where to go, and you know he swings the ball across, and they got the lucky deflection that fell to Monreal, but they can't touch him in the box. So he's such a good player. He's always going to get criticism because of his price tag. And I've given him plenty of criticism this season because I think he has gone quiet too much in the big game sometimes, and he needs to dictate the play a little bit more. But it has been an adjustment this season because the team, the style of play has totally changed from the last few years he's been at the club.
Yeah, well said, well said. We had another question here from Akshay on the subject of players coming in as well. Would you take Sturridge at Arsenal? I personally wouldn't. His ability is unquestionable. But you know, we try to ship out players that are injury prone. I don't think bringing him in, he's injured again yesterday. He's another one that only seems to turn his best form on for in an England shirt. I think Liverpool would want big money for him, which I personally wouldn't be prepared to gamble from our particular treasure chest, if you will. And more than all of those things, I think his attitude is massively questionable. Man City, Chelsea, Liverpool, how many big clubs do you want the chance at? And none of them have fancied him. There's got to be a reason for that. And he doesn't strike me as the sort of guy that will put the effort in to improve, you know, much like Theo Walcott has this season, for example. Sturridge doesn't strike me as one of those. He strikes me as one of those that rocks up, says, yeah, I'm great, I'll do this, pick me. I'd rather have bloody Jermaine Defoe than I would Sturridge, personally, but that's a story for a rainy day. Last one. I'd take this one, Bavia. I've done it, you pillock. Last one, actually from Bavia, just because it always provokes good debate. Pep Guardiola, is he really that good? For me, he's another Mourinho who likes spending the checkbook. John says yes, I say no. So, Ellis, you can have a say.
Oh, I've read his book, and from reading his book, he comes across as quite... just a mentalist, really, how tactical he is and how much effort he puts into it. No wonder he's lost all his hair, the amount of stress he probably goes through looking for all these statistics and planning for all these games. I think he is a quality manager. It is the only sort of thing you can argue is the clubs that he obviously started at Barcelona, one of the best clubs in the world, and then went to Bayern Munich, one of the best clubs in the world. He's gone to Manchester City. I wouldn't say one of the best clubs in the world, but they've got a damn lot of money and they've got some good players there. So I think his hardest test is going to be in this league, purely because it's not... I'm not going to say... I don't want to say anything about the other leagues because I'll get people on me. I'm not saying they're less competitive as the league, but the overall quality in the Premier League is a bit less than those top leagues and spread out more throughout the clubs. There's 3, 4, 5 maybe clubs that could probably win the title, whereas in the Liga and the Bundesliga, you've got a few less clubs there that are going to challenge for the title. So this will be his biggest test. I think he will eventually win the Premier League with Man City, whether it will be this season or in the coming seasons. But it's going to be a big test for him because their squad isn't that great everywhere. There's like for like against our squad, like for like against other squads in the league. There are areas where they are weak. and there are aging players there that are going down their career. So, but the thing is, they've got so much money, so they can just bring someone else in that will cover the players that are now on their way out. So it's difficult, really. But I would say, as a manager, and before he went to City, he was one of the managers that I would have loved to send at Arsenal after Arsene leaves. But it's not going to happen now, is it?
No, I know.
Chris, you really like Carlo Ancelotti, don't you? And you wanted him as a possible Wenger replacement. Hasn't he gone to Bayern Munich, who are now not top of the league? That team that Pep was managing, and they've got an even better squad than when Pep was there, and they're not doing as well.
Oh, agreed. However, just because Ellis is a chicken, I'm going to say it. The Bundesliga is far more competitive than La Liga. So you know. So just saying. Whether you like that or you don't, for me, it is. The Bundesliga is a far more competitive league than La Liga. It just is. And, yeah, people can say, oh, yeah, but Atletico Madrid have challenged Real Madrid. And, well, yeah, OK, they have. And look where they are now. What, sixth? I mean, nah. Real Madrid and Barcelona will always have the monopoly in Spain. And the teams like... it's a silly argument and a lazy argument to say... to put Pep Guardiola and say, oh, well, he hasn't managed Barn in the rainy
evening. Who took over from Guardiola and didn't win the league? Didn't he have exactly the same squad as Guardiola that apparently anyone could manage and win the league?
I wouldn't see it. Yeah, I don't buy into that. I don't buy into that anyone could just
make
win
your mind up.
No, I'm saying I don't think any
manager.
It's a two-team league, though, isn't it? It's a two-team league. But I don't think he's had a challenge. I don't think he's been challenged, Guardiola. And I'll be honest with you. I know myself and Ross on another podcast I do are probably on our own little island on this. I find Guardiola's football very, very boring. I really do. You talk to Bayern Munich fans about how they feel. They were very much, John, you'll know, listening to podcasts with people like Raf Hannigstein, they weren't exactly blown away by it. It wasn't exactly entertaining.
And I know trophies, though.
Yeah, and I know some people will say, well, Arsenal aren't exactly entertaining either. Blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, I get that. But I just find this whole, whatever I do, it will always involve pressing. It will always involve playing out from the back. It will always involve a goalkeeper who can't save shit, but is good with his feet. I just find it all a little bit, you know. And would I have Ancelotti at Arsenal? Absolutely. I hope he absolutely shits the bed at Bayern Munich and they turf him out at Christmas. And then Arsenal can, you know, do what he wants to do, whether he signs a new contract, which I think he will anyway. But if he doesn't and he decides to walk away, Carlo, I will open the door for you. I will take your shopping to your car for you. Not a problem. And you know as well as I do, Mr. Welsh, Carlo Ancelotti will win things with Arsenal. You know that as well as I do. So don't you troll me, you cheeky monkey.
Not with this squad, but yeah.
Oh,
maybe.
Shush. But I'm not saying Guardiola is a bad manager, because clearly he's not. He's clearly a very, very good manager and one of the world-class managers.
Every single player always goes on about how much they improve under him and how amazing he is as a manager.
Not everyone. I would ask,
some players don't like working hard.
Well, that's fair. That's fair. Yeah, I'm just not.
I'm sure Bentner wouldn't like working under Guardiola, but yeah.
I don't think Bentner likes working. Full stop.
Yeah, good point.
I watched him come on the other night for Forest. He had about 15 minutes and he barely broke into a jog. He just sort of trotted about up front. Henry Lansbury scored a hat-trick, though, God bless him. He's got lovely hair at the moment. Big Buffon hair, it's bizarre. But yes, it's a good debate, and you know, everybody has got an opinion, and that's what makes the world go round. You know, John's is wrong, obviously, but everyone has an opinion and they're entitled to that. So love you really, John.
In summary, Chris loves Pep Guardiola forever.
Oh, adore him. Yeah, adore him. Absolutely. Interesting. Anyway, Gaz, no. Does John need a cuddle to keep him warm? Possibly, Gaz. Possibly. Gaz, have you not got podcasts you need to be editing? You seem to have a lot of free time on your hands at the moment. I think you should get back to work, young man. Anyway, I think we'll draw a line there, gentlemen. It's been fun. We'll be back on, is it Tuesday or Wednesday? I don't bloody know when we're playing next. Anybody know?
Wednesday, I think.
Wednesday.
I think so too.
Let's find out, shall we? Just because I'm sure all our listeners are desperately trying to wait for us to tell them when our next game is, because we are really organised and have no idea.
It is Wednesday.
It is Wednesday. Okay, yeah. So it's 7:45. Excuse me, 7:45 kickoff. I don't believe we're on telly, because they've picked some other crappy team. And then we're at West Ham next Saturday or Sunday. Oh, here we go again. Next Saturday tea time.
The late game, isn't it?
It is the 5:30, and I don't know about you two, but I am bricking it for that game. I've got this horrible feeling that West Ham will suddenly wheel out a half-fit Andy Carroll and it'll all go horribly wrong again. But
God,
let's hope not. Let's hope not. Right. Okay. So thank you to John and to Ellis for your time this afternoon and for bearing with me while my microphone died.
Pleasure as always.
Yeah, same. You sort out your internet, mate. It's not good enough. You step it up.
I hired you. I can also fire you. Our thoughts and prayers, as always, go to Danny the GFP, who has he's awaiting the crane to lift him out of bed. Obviously, our thoughts and prayers go out to him at this difficult time. I think he's only been asleep for about 14 hours, last count. John, you can testify to this. He woke up to see the team news, talked about go-karting / Grand Prix for 5 minutes, went back to sleep, woke up to ask about Debussy and went back to sleep again. So
I think he woke up when we scored the third goal.
Oh, did he? Oh, that's nice of him. Yeah. It's a good job we haven't got a season ticket, because the fucker would never get used, would it? Anyway, no, without Danny and, of course, Gimli, none of this would be possible. So thank you to them both. And if you want to give us a little thumbs up, thingamajiggy, it makes Danny do sex wee. So please do that. until our next little occasion, which, as I say, will be Wednesday, and the podcast, which I think I'm hosting actually next Thursday, keep it Arsenal, keep it ABW Radio. Feel free to leave some nice comments or some nasty ones, whichever you prefer, and we will speak to you very soon. Ta-ta for now.
Right about now, you're about to be possessed by the sounds of MC Rawface and DJ Easy Rock.
You get weary, don't cheer me, just hear me out, 'cause I got the clout.
I count to three, I want you to get busy. Ready now? One, two, three, get loose now.